So to start off with, can you please introduce yourself and what you do?
Okay, so my name is Shauna Davis, and I am the president for the Capital District Chapter of the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists. And I'm also the executive vice president for CSEA Region 4, which is the Civil Service Employees Association. And it is a union that represents public, private sector, local government, school district workers all across the state of New York, represent Region 4.
So, can you go in more depth about the things you're doing while you're working?
Okay, so basically, I met the sanctuary through the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists. So I'll talk a little bit more about that. The Coalition of Black Trade Unionists is a union constituency group of a union. And so basically, we're not an actual union that represents members, but what we do is we actually work with members of unions to encourage them to be a part of their union, to become in a leadership role for their union. You know, years ago when unions started, it was the old boys club. There were the majority of union leadership were white Caucasian men. And so in 1972, after the many fights for civil rights, William B Bill Lucy, along with some other gentlemen, decided that they wanted to come together to work with minority and poor people to make sure that not only, you know, they're paying union dues, but that they become leaders in their union and also understand what the union is and how the union impacts their lives and the lives of their family.
So, how long have you been working with the union in the sanctuary?
Okay, so I don't work with the sanctuary. I just met them probably about 2 years ago. I attended an event there, the MLK Labor Community event. I attended in 2020, January of 2020. And then January 2021, I actually was a part of the Martin Luther King Labor Community Celebration. And I was introduced to them through Willie Hughes, who's their labor correspondent. And then, but for Coalition of Black Trade Unionists, I've actually been a member about 15 years, but I've been in a leadership role for about 10.
What made you do what you're doing now? Like, what started it at all?
I would say what started it all for me is advocating. My brother was killed in 1991 in Albany, New York, by the police. He was 21 years old. He was picked up to believe to be someone he wasn't. They thought he was somebody else, and during the arrest procedures, they just took situations too far and they murdered him. They basically covered up their crime and said that he had killed himself. But we had hired a separate pathologist who indicated that his death was asphyxiation, but there was no way it was self-inflicted. And so, honestly, that's really where advocating began for me. I was 26 years old. I had two young children. And here I lost my 21-year-old brother, who was a veteran and just a, you know, a decent person. He was a Christian, he was a veteran, and, you know, he just lost his life to injustice. And so, you know, we started marching and, you know, standing in front of the Capitol, standing in front of the mayor's house. And a few years after that, Willie Terry invited me to a town hall meeting. And at that town hall meeting, there were other people that were not fighting just for justice in the area, you know, that we, our family suffered, but also economic justice, health justice, and things like that. And at that point, I was sold. I just really felt like, you know, it was an opportunity to not only get support and rally around the issues that myself and my family were fighting for, but to also help others in the issues that they were fighting for as well.
What do you hope to, in like the end goal, if there is an end goal, to achieve with advocating?
So I don't think advocating will ever end. I think that's something that will be for the rest of my life and for life for the generations that come after me. So if I was to have an end goal, the end goal would be is to know that you have a right to advocate for yourself. And to also know that sometimes the word no is not no, it might be not right now, But the rights for equal rights for everyone is imperative. And unfortunately for our community and communities like ours, we have to advocate for that.
Where do you see yourself in 3 to 5 years?
So that's a good question. So in 3 to 5 years, I would like to see myself in a larger leadership role in CSCA, the union that I represent on behalf of members. I would like to be able to be in a place where I can advocate at a higher level for members and to make and to ensure that people are treated fairly. And then also to be able to educate and let people know the importance of a union and why they're around and what they do for people and what impact they make, not only on the members that they serve, but also the community that these members live in.
Recently, as everyone knows, COVID has been affecting lots of people's workplaces and how things have been going on. Has it affected you at all?
Absolutely. So COVID has impacted our workplace in a sense that, you know, much like the schools, a lot of our students are attending school hybrid. And so I've been working in a hybrid mode where I go in the office a couple of days a week and then I work from home a couple of days a week, where that was never even allowed, you know, prior to COVID. You went to work in your office every single day. But for safety, we are working that way and making sure that everyone stays safe. On a personal level, COVID has impacted me as far as friends. I've lost friends that have passed away from COVID, union members that have passed away from COVID. These are people that are frontline workers, you know, a friend and others like him worked in mental health facilities and passed away because they contracted COVID. There's other arenas where people have contracted COVID, you know, just riding the bus or something like that. So I had a cousin who we almost lost to COVID, but thank God she's okay. I had another cousin who lives in another state who was on a ventilator for 4 months because of COVID, and now he's in a nursing home. So the impact is horrible. It's important that we follow the protocols, and as you are, wearing a mask and just making sure that we're trying to stay safe and educating everyone to stay safe. But most importantly, if someone is in a place where they can receive a vaccine, it's important that our community takes advantage of this and get a vaccine. It's extremely important for the safety and health for not only of ourselves, but for our children and our grandchildren and our elderly. You know, the vaccine is important. If it's available to you, please, you know, make sure, I just want to make sure that people take advantage of it and get that vaccine.
Are there any ways the community can help advocate for others?
Absolutely. So I think that, you know, what happens a lot is we get stuck in our own way of thinking and not realizing that something that impacts us, impacts one person, impacts everyone. And so the community can advocate for others when they come together to work together. So I know that recently they've had food drives in all the communities across the Capital District. And so if someone knows about that, knock on your neighbor's door and say, I'm not sure if you need the food, but, you know, there's a food drive, you know, here at this particular location. But if you don't need it, pass the word along. That's a way to advocate for our friends and for our neighbors and for our community. If there's information about a vaccine and information about how someone who may fall under the guidelines of the people that they're giving vaccines to now, pass that information along and let people know so that they can, you know, sign up for a vaccine and actually get that vaccine. That's a way that people can advocate for one another.
Do you have any future events coming up?
So we have an amazing event coming up this Saturday with the Sanctuary for Independent Media. They are actually hosting a youth-led Black History Month event. I'm extremely excited about it. Oftentimes, we adults do all the talking, we do all the teaching, we do all the educating. And this particular Saturday, the young people are going to teach us, they're going to educate us, and they're going to encourage us in Black history. So they have created a platform to be able to share their knowledge, share their expertise, and also look at some influencers that have influenced them or that they may be excited about what they've done in the past. And they're going to share that knowledge with us. And so I'm excited that that's going to happen. That's going to happen with the Sanctuary for Independent Media. And it's going to be on live. It's going to be, so I know that they're going to actually show it on their Facebook page, but people can actually join the link and actually be a part if they register for it. And so I'm just hoping that we get a lot of people to come out and support our young people. CBTU is so excited to be able to co-sponsor this event with Team Hero, Shades of Coco, I think Troy for Black Lives, and a number of other organizations to support our young people and to hear what they have to say, because they definitely have a voice and we want to hear it.